I am Dan Barish, and this is...
Matt Shepard.
I am the Jew from Cleveland, and he is the...
The Mormon from Seattle.
And we are the Purple Twins, or the Odd Couple. We are still having an identity crisis, which is being resolved in loud fights and broken bottles on walls at 1 in the morning. But we don't talk about that. No, no. No. We're very secure in ourselves. We just don't know what we're called yet.
Group together, I know what I'm called.
Ha, ha, ha. I'm glad for your delusions. So the idea of this podcast is that if you look at TV, there's always talking heads screaming at each other, and if you look at Facebook, there's lots of capital letters because conservatives and liberals have forgotten how to speak to each other about a lot of things that matter. They don't even necessarily...
And that's where we come in.
Right, right. Shut up, conservative. yes, we don't necessarily even share the same vocabulary anymore. And so we are trying to be part of the difference. We are trying to make a little bit of difference in that problem. And this week's episode, episode 2, which is all about privacy, is a bit different because we don't disagree on this one.
Yeah, we don't. In almost anything, the only people that disagree are the people that are in power and want to prosecute people.
Exactly. Exactly. We think that the Supreme Court... Sorry, were you saying something?
The common everyday person, they believe that their stuff should be private. It's pretty much hands down.
Yes. It seems to be a relatively uncontroversial position.
There are those few useful idiots that are like, well, I don't have any plans to do terrorism, so therefore I don't have anything to fear from the government. Yeah, that's a piece of crap.
Yeah, it is. It is. Because, you know, to me, you look at the Constitution, you look at things like the First Amendment. I have a belief, and this is why I'm a supporter of the ACLU, I'm a member, actually, that the hard time isn't when it's easy. The hard time isn't, the sky is blue. The hard stuff, as Americans, is when we may have to make ourselves even a little bit less secure, possibly, arguably, by safeguarding our core freedoms. The hard stuff is saying that neo-Nazis do have the right to march through Skokie and that sort of thing, or the Klansmen have a right to march downtown.
Yeah, it's when you're offended that speech should be really protected. Because if you're never offended, then you're just lulled into a false sense of security and, you know, you're toast.
Exactly, exactly. So we both agree that the Supreme Court made a fine decision lately with regard to privacy, saying that if the police want to search your cell phone, they need a warrant. Nice, blunt ruling. And also said that the use of encryption alone does not mean that you should be subject to suspicion.
Yeah, I encrypt my stuff to protect myself from hackers. Why would I be, you know, you encrypt your things, you're therefore automatically
exactly.
A criminal.
Exactly. I go fairly crazy on security, but it isn't really about the government, because the government has other ways of getting after me, and why would they anyhow? It's more that the smart criminals are increasingly the hackers, and I'm going to do everything I can to protect myself and my family from them, and that means crazy strong passwords, for example, and an encrypted hard drive, for example.
Yeah, I have an encrypted hard drive as well.
Yep, yep. So, before we started recording, we were actually talking about some privacy software, and I think that since we both agree that privacy is important, it would be of more profit to our listeners if we actually talked about some ways to stay private.
How to maintain your own privacy.
Yes. So, I was just in the process of recommending to Matt a software program called 1Password. So, Matt, you were saying that you used Ashlane, or just that you know about it?
I've heard of it from my good friends at Lifehacker. From that, I was looking at KeePass. You know a little bit more about that. So, can you explain the difference and why you think that 1Password is
okay,
better?
Sure. So, here's a number of reasons. 1Password fundamentally does two things. It stores all your passwords for you, and it can help you generate new ones. So if you need, on the spot, a new password generated, you can absolutely specify from as few as one, although no one should have a one-character password, to as many as 50 characters, which is beyond the capacity of some websites, which is absurd. And whether there should be a number of letters and symbols or numbers or whatever sort of characters in there you want. But then the important thing that people don't sometimes realize is it's just as important, how is that database of passwords stored? Now, if you look at Dashlane, to me they have a critical security flaw, which is that they maintain their own database, which is a nice, big, singular target for hackers to go after. But what does 1Password do? They don't even have the option of you storing your stuff with them. If you're...
This is why Napster is dead, but torrents are not.
This is why Napster, exactly, correct. Correct, you clearly can't kill torrents. And so, if you're using any platform with 1Password, you at least have the option of using Dropbox. And it goes beyond just storing your stuff in Dropbox. The 1Password database itself is encrypted using 256-bit AES encryption, which is the most powerful encryption known in the world, I believe. It is, in fact, what the government itself uses for top-secret documents.
As far as I know, at least anything mainstream.
Anything mainstream, you said?
Yeah, anything mainstream. I think there are some crazy hacker encryption things that some people like have invented that they post on the internet and like two people use it. But anything that people use and can actually find software for.
It's an almost universally used encryption standard that is extremely powerful. And so the great thing there is, you know, Dropbox itself actually stores its information on Amazon Web Services, encrypted at 256 AES itself. But even if Dropbox were compromised, or never mind that, let's say I stored my 1Password database on a hard drive, and then I stuck that hard drive on a table in the street, and it said, take me, it would still be secure. Because as long as you've got a good enough password protecting the master key, you are creating a situation where it would take probably millions, if not billions, of years to brute force that encryption. So it's extremely secure.
And brute force is basically, they just randomly
guess
the password.
They just try attempt after attempt with a computer that can, you know, do billions or trillions of attempts a second until eventually, just by sheer law of probability, one of them is eventually correct. And so that's good, strong security. If you're using Apple products, you can choose to store your 1Password database just on your computer and have it transferred around by cable or by Wi-Fi or by Dropbox or by iCloud. And if you're using Windows, in which case iCloud's not going to be an option, or Android, by the way, in which iCloud's definitely not as much of an option, Dropbox is as multi-platform as it gets and will work. So that's why I love 1Password so much. There's no subscription fee. First of all, Dashlane does have a subscription, I believe. 1Password does not. You pay them once you're done. And 1Password can also be used to store not just passwords, but, for example, many other protected kinds of data. Actually, let me just open my own 1Password and, you know, categories include...
Does it also do the hard drive encryption?
Absolutely encrypt your hard drive.
For that, I've used TrueCrypt.
Now, of course, the 1Password database is encrypted locally on your hard drive as well. But in general, if you want good, strong protection, encrypt your hard drive. And 1Password. I can't do my password and talk at the same time, and I'm going to sacrifice 1Password. But 1Password can store your credit card number, your bank account, any kind of secure data you want. It can secure anything you want it to secure. It's just a question of how much space you want to take up, really.
One way that I've taken care of that is I have a second hard drive inside my computer, which it's actually my old hard drive. This is the computer that I built. But that second hard drive is the one that's fully encrypted separate from the OS.
Huh. So you store the operating system on one hard drive and then everything you care about is on the encrypted hard drive? Is that how you do it? Okay. I'm a bit different.
Yes.
So on OS X... which version of Windows are you running? 7?
Windows 8.
Windows 8. Okay. How does Windows 8 do encryption?
You can encrypt, but it's based on your Windows password.
I see.
So if they can get into your computer, they can get into your
basically the same on a Mac. So OS 10, and I'm referring to 10.9 here just for reference. I'm running, not that it really matters that much, but I'm running OS 10.9.4. And as soon as Yosemite comes out in October or September, I'll run that. But OS X comes with what's called File Vault 2, which is as simple as pressing a button and then giving the computer a new master password for your data, and it then performs whole disk encryption. And the nice thing about that is that you can continue to work as your computer's hard drive is encrypted, and from then on, it'll all be encrypted. And if somebody were to just take your hard drive out of your computer and plug it in somewhere else, they would not be able to read it without the key. If you happen to forget your login password, you need to store your File Vault password in a safe place. You can store it with Apple if you want to, which is unlockable only by the answers to questions, or you can choose not to give it to Apple at all. That is secure enough for my taste. It's just a matter of having a nice, strong password.
Just store it on the underside of one of your computers.
I mean, but this is my main drive. I don't even... So this is like Julian Assange-level paranoia here. Got it. Do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
I was just throwing that out there.
No.
Even I don't do that.
There's no way I'm forgetting the login password to my computer.
I saw this on Slashdot a while ago. You want to talk about paranoia? Somebody on Slashdot was actually saying, well, I really want to secure my data. Maybe I should go put it on a hard drive and bury it in a field. He wasn't even joking.
Well, you know, that field is going to be found. Like, it's going to be found, like, you know, 100 years in the future, and people will have all your data long after you're dead.
Bank account, and you're going to be dead. Oh, no! And so he was encouraged to go get a safe deposit box, which is the proper response to somebody talking like that, or check yourself into a hospital.
Yeah, you know, what you have, you know, unless you're like a billionaire that like is being oppressed by a government that's actively seeking you out, you're just going to be just fine. You're not going to have to like, I'm going to bury my stuff in a field to keep it safe from all of the marauding people that are going to steal it. Like,
right.
Oh, so on topic here, there's the Australian government recently, if people have bank accounts and things like that have been idle for a long period of time, they've started taking basically like shaving off of that. So we're talking about the potential government intrusions. The most likely way that the government is going to intrude on your privacy is by making a law that nobody pays attention to and then following that law, because the law enforcement people
right.
and doing stuff that you're not aware of. This recently happened in Pennsylvania, where they made a law where if certain types of accounts were idle for 6 months or more, they could just take the money.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's the types of accounts that they were taking money from were like long-term stock accounts, which
That's
people
disgusting.
Don't pay attention to at all. Yeah, so this is the kind of thing that the government is going to do. You know, it's going to go through the front door, but you never use your front door. You mean if nobody was withdrawing from a stock account,
the government would just start taking money from it?
The Pennsylvania state government,
like,
yes.
And to where they...
And it was... They passed a law, and then they went and took it. Now, people found out about this, and if you go and complain back to them, I think within a certain period of time, they will give your money back to you, but not after you have to raise a good stink. The specific person that this happened to, that was the source for this story, like he went and talked to several of his neighbors, and it happened to them as well.
Wow!
Yeah, this is an employee of the Blaze.
Wow!
This happened to.
That's pretty
and,
gross.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. So not quite as bad as the Cypriot government, but at least the Cypriot government, like, they didn't do it. They were planning on doing basically a one-time tax on all wealth in their banks, not just of their citizens, but any bank, anything in a Cypriot bank was going to have a tax if it was over, like, $100,000+, basically, which is big for Cyprus because they're... A lot of like Russian billionaires and millionaires keep their money
right.
in Cyprus, at least some of it, because their government tends to be less intrusive. But that was their way to solve their debt crisis. Now, they never did it because of the public backlash before they actually went into it. But apparently it's happening in other places as well, in a slightly different form. But So this is government intrusions into your privacy. Usually it has to do with They want to be able to catch criminals without actually having to go to any effort, which makes it easy on them, and they can keep their jobs and have all these things, or it has to do with money. Those are usually the two fronts that the government takes.
So, basically, when you talk about one password and encryption and all these things, what I want to emphasize is that even if you use crazy powerful security, if the NSA wants to blow it, you know, wants to get you, they're going to get you. These technologies will frustrate a dragnet and will make things close to impossible, if not impossible, for even a very savvy criminal. But if the NSA wants you, they're going to get you. Pretty simple.
Which is why we need to guard our privacy in the public realm, as correct, well as privately. So, you know, pay attention to what's going on. This is why I'm in favor of, you know, simple bills being passed. You know, because it's very easy for a giant bill to contain something in there that will erode privacy, that will get passed, right, because there's some good things that are in there. You know, government does this all the time. The Patriot Act was supposed to give them some power so they could go after terrorists. Well, that's all fine and dandy if they're going after terrorists, but it also gives, you know, gave them a lot more wiggle room than it was originally intended by the people who wrote it. And the government will take all the wiggle room that it will, it can.
Secret gag orders against,
especially when it's, yeah, or, you know, yeah, gag orders against many of its employees.
Basically, we began the transition to Orwellian police state under George W. Bush and continued under Barack Obama.
Yes. So this is not a partisan thing. Both parties, both, you know, anybody that's in power will naturally want to increase that power. Well, it's frustrating to have to, like, work together. Really? We have to work together to actually get something done? Yeah, that's the way Congress was made. It's supposed to be that way. Sometimes we want to get things done that, or don't want to get things done, but we have to work together to do it, and that's kind of the way the whole thing was built, so right, that you would check and balance each other's
and
path.
I certainly don't, you know, whether the next president is a Republican or a Democrat, I have no real expectation that him or her will make this sort of thing too much better. I think it's up to Congress.
Yeah. Congress, the Supreme Court, and the American people, honestly, is the biggest.
All the American thing. People acting in their role as voters is what I mean.
Yes. The role as voters, but also in the activist role in government. Because there are lots of lobbyists and other groups that want to have control in Congress. But, you know, nowadays, especially with modern technology, you can have a role in government as well. There's all kinds of petitions, there's peaceful protests and things like what Wikipedia did.
Oh, it was SOPA.
The Silva's,
wasn't that it?
Yeah, there are a number of things, but the Wikipedia was specifically against anyway. So, and it worked. It got people to pay
attention.
I
mean,
attention.
Wikipedia and a whole bunch of other companies as well. I mean, Google,
yes,
even
that's
did
true.
It.
Yeah. They basically, like, that was when they went dark for like an hour to get people to pay attention and to try to fight against the
yep,
bill.
It was a
so
pretty brilliant move.
That sort of that sort of move, you know, is one of the reasons why I believe the internet is one of the greatest suppliers of human freedom in the world.
The internet is an amazing, it is a supplier of freedom, it's a supplier of unbelievable economic growth, it's also a supplier of danger. Women turn out to be just as unsafe on the internet as they do in the physical world.
That guy you meet online, you know, there's a good chance he's not who you think he is.
Well, it's not even that. It's just the death threats and the sexual harassment and the I will threaten to rape you because you don't think what I like you to think. And the fact that the police don't really know what to do and or are indifferent to rape and or death
threats. This is one of the reasons I stick mostly to Facebook, because the taking the anonymity out of things kind of takes a lot of the bite out of a lot of people's threats.
Yeah, I haven't had anyone threaten to kill me on Facebook or on Twitter, but I don't really say much on Twitter. Yeah.
A lot of most of the death threats are sent like privately or like to a lot of different things. But yeah, there's a girl in my you remember Penny Chain?
Of course,
you were there. Do you remember Penny
yes.
Chain? Yeah. Like this girl, she, you know, met a guy online and ended up realizing he was a creep and broke up with him. Got a restraining order on him. He had set fire to her garage because she wouldn't be with him anymore. was making all kinds of threats, and then she was walking to school one day, and he just walked up to her in the middle of the street and shot her, what was it, 7 times?
I don't know how many times he shot her. He shot her across the street from
It
the
was
police
across the
station.
street from my
That was
house.
across the street from your house?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
I lived just off of the corner of Van Lee and Van Acres.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was, that was the route that my sister and my brother normally took to
Oh,
school. Like,
wow.
had like they both felt like they should take the other route, and had they taken the other the nor their normal route, they would have gone right, like, probably seen it.
Wow. Wow. You know,
So
I was
this is why you don't be careful about who you meet and what you do, because there are some dangerous people.
Indeed. I'm actually you can look at I'm looking at so the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections, which imprisons Scott Struthers, the murderer of Penny Chang. You can search for any inmates. So I'm actually looking at Scott Struthers' inmate page right now.
And
Yes.
is it giving you any enlightenment?
Well, I'll send you the link. This is why it's a beta podcast, folks. We're doing things like this. This is amateur hour, make no mistake.
Of
Yeah.
course. The bigger thing is guard your privacy, both in your personal life, in your personal transactions and things, but also make sure to pay attention and to what's going on around you, to the other threats. The paying attention, the personal things like the encryption and that sort of thing will protect you, like Dan said, from the rest of humanity. It's not going to protect you from a tyrannical government, or even from a slightly out of control government. Not even really
Yeah,
tyrannical.
and
The way that you protect that is by paying attention and using those, using
yes,
your
I
freedoms
wouldn't
and
call our
using your
government
voice.
tyrannical. I would call it slightly out of
Yeah,
control.
I don't think we're in the auspices of tyranny at this point. I see that if we continue down certain paths, it could become so, but I also believe in the people, that when something comes up that would press a button, that people will fight back.
And I think they're
My
beginning
only
to.
real concern. They are, and that is a very good sign. It's a sign that we actually are, still
Oh
healthy
yeah.
as a people.
Yep. Yep.
The time when it would happen is when either there's a giant crisis and we're like, give authority to them now. I mean, it would have to be something way worse than 9/11, and that was world shattering for many people.
Yes.
But yeah, so that kind of thing, or either we're lull or that, or we're lulled into a false sense of security, believing that our government is going to take care of us without us really paying attention to what they're doing, which is not going to happen. So pay attention to what they're doing and don't go to sleep.
Yes, don't
Exactly.
sleep ever. It'll make you
And
stronger.
one thing that I wanted to add real quick. One thing I wanted to add real quick is the so one thing that I wanted to add real quick just before we end is that privacy, like they talk about the reasonable suspicion of privacy or reasonable expectation. To me, that means have when if there's a password,
Yes.
I have a reasonable expectation that it'll be private.
Agreed.
But anyway, any closing thoughts before we close, Dan?
Well, I agree with everything you said. It's a dangerous, beautiful world. Enjoy your 4th of July.